then to the word this morning, congregation, let's go to Exodus chapter 8. Continuing there in Exodus at chapter 8. The third plague. And God's wondrous word this morning in Exodus chapter 8, verses 16 through 19. That the Lord would give us open ears and hearts now to his word by his spirit. We have it, Exodus chapter 8 and verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land, so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt." And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, and they could not. So there were lice on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. Thus far, dearly beloved, God's rich, glorious, and wondrous word. Once more, let's ask his help as we continue, shall we? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that what you do this morning is both humble us and lift us up. We are bowed down in our hearts reverently to receive from you that which you have planned to give to us to build us up. Father, we pray that we would see in the tension of these things your good for your people and for your glory. May we, your people, rejoice in your faithfulness. And as we are now attentive to your word, give us to contemplate, to meditate on these things of your word. Oh, Father, you have not designed to give us a few verses of scripture that we may say, "Well, that was nice." But rather now that we may meditate long on these things, may we be as the cow chewing its cud, extracting all of the richness out of this your word. And Father, may we see that as our blessed privilege now. Your people, well satisfied from your word. Hear us now, and by your spirit, help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God alone is omnipotent. All power belongs to him. And in a very unique way, he makes that truth plain in this third plague. The third plague and later the sixth are both very brief in explanation. Other similarities connect the third and the sixth, which we'll take up when we get to that plague of the boils later on. But one similarity we need to take up now is the place of the magicians. The Lord God will not long put up with pretenders to his sovereign throne and authority. And he is about to make fools of these competitors using the most humble of means. Notice this, and you'll find the theme and outline in your bulletin. The mighty God uses many means to cause major shame to his enemies. Don't get tongue-tied with that. The mighty God uses many means to cause major shame to his enemies. So we'll take up four things this morning. First, the visible sign makes clear the divine. Second, dust is everywhere given the lowest rank. Third, the folly of error is blatantly portrayed. And then fourth, the effect of the testimony is tempered in this fallen world. Well, then first, dearly beloved, the visible sign makes clear the divine. Once again, we need to notice how graciously the mighty God reveals that He is the one behind these actions of power. That is to say, the Lord God does not work except through the means He has assigned for the benefit of His people. All Israel hears that the rod, that rod given to Moses and Aaron, will again be used. Notice it, that the people of the Lord are coming to understand Him, coming to know the Lord, to trust Him, that when the rod is used, He is behind it. They are able to make an association between that visible action, that visible sign, and the work the Lord God Almighty is doing. To put it in quite a humble way, they need this crutch, this temporary help, to open their minds to the faithfulness of God. Now there's going to come a time in the wilderness at a rock when water is needed that this help will become a hindrance. But that time is not yet. Now the people need the help of these means of grace in hearing. And that rod is again called into service. The Lord God is acting for His people. And dearly beloved, we can take from that a very basic but extremely important lesson. And it is this: that our God is patient and gracious to His covenant community. Remember how also later in the wilderness, the Lord is going to put a serpent on a pole, and He will tell His people bitten by snakes to look to that means of grace for healing, clearly a sign pointing to the work of Christ upon the cross, as the Lord Himself will say in John 3, verse 14. But the point here is the means. Those of you who have understood this before and have known this for many years need to remember something about our children. Our children will only come to value preaching and the sacraments when they learn not how engaging or exciting or novel is the preacher or the preaching, but only when they really grasp that what is engaging and exciting is that it is God who is speaking. That our people come into the house of the Lord, and our children especially, and they say, God is going to speak to me this morning. God shows me something in the sacraments of His faithfulness. God says, God does. Children, biblical preaching is the Lord speaking. He is saying, He is doing for His people's benefit. Moses, tell Aaron to stretch out the rod. The people need to know that your God is at work. Dear congregation, the Lord's Day is nothing less than that. It is Almighty God bringing you into His house and saying to you, look, I'm about to speak to you. I'm about to say something to you, which you so sorely need to hear. Well, notice then, secondly, the dust is everywhere given the lowest rank. The reference here to many means in our theme statement is a reference to dust. In this plague, a great discomfort results from the Lord's activity. Upon man and beast, verses 17 and 18, lice lands. Now there's some discussion. Maybe the Hebrew word means gnats. Some of our English renderings come across that way. Maybe it means mosquitoes. It does not mean flies, as that's going to be the issue taken up in the next plague. But you see, it seems to matter rather little whether it is lice or gnats or mosquitoes or maybe something else. That's not the point, it seems, in the text. Rather, the point of the text seems to be, what is the original substance? Dust. Dearly beloved, what comes to mind when you hear of dust in the Bible? How about Genesis 2, verse 7? And the Lord God framed a man of the dust of the ground. Or how about after the fall in Genesis 3, verse 19, saying to each of us, for dust you are, and to dust shall you return. How many of you have heard something similar at a graveside ceremony after a funeral? Dust in Scripture, you see, has always the connotation of the insignificant, the tiny, the minuscule. Consider Genesis 13, 16. God speaking in regards to the covenant. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if man could count the dust of the earth, so that your number could then be counted. One clear inference we draw of dust is that dust is equated with the lowliest things, those meaningless realms, those things of great insignificance. And nobody would say, well, I'm going to count these things up, this pile of dust, and I'm going to value it. It is no, rather, quite the opposite. It is of the most insignificant value. Consider this from 1 Kings 16:2. Inasmuch as I lifted you out of the dust and made you a ruler. Dearly beloved, do you see what the Lord is saying here, what the Lord is doing here? Maybe you have already understood how God is used to working in our lives with the low things, with the common things. There are some who continue even in this day to look for God to speak to them in dreams or in prophets' ecstasies or the sudden rending of the veil of clay or in the angel visitation, the opening of the heavens and God doing something unique and remarkable, even near-death experiences. Those things sell lots of books in so-called Christian stores. But all of these things are a trap. If you listen to so-called Christian leaders who say that they have heard from God in a dream, they have heard from God in a visiting prophet, as is the case with the IHOP group, or in an audible voice, and God has told them X, Y, and Z, then you ought to run as fast as you can away from such people. They are deluded. The Lord speaks through His Word, and it is preached by grace. And it is, as the world would consider it again, the lowliest of things. But notice this, that He works in our lives in what we call providence, usually in very normal things, very common things, the small things, things that people wouldn't say, there God is working. Do you see what's going on? People would say, well, that's nothing. It's normal. It's common. Are you having difficulty in a relationship? You need to ask yourself, what is the Lord showing to me about myself, about my ways, about my sins? Are you having challenges at work? You ought to begin asking questions. What's going on in my life? What's going on? What is the Lord doing in my circumstances? You see, dearly beloved, each and every molecule, which together consisting make up this universe, each of those, as Van Til would have said it, is under the sovereign control of one mighty King who rules without referendum and without vote. Or according to this plague, the Lord can use dust to destroy us or to save us. And in that, thirdly, is the folly of error blatantly portrayed. Because here indeed is the glory of the passage. Have you noticed several times leading up to this how we have said that the Lord allowed those magicians just enough power, lent to them just enough ability, that they could mimic his works. And all the while the magicians thought they were doing it by their own wise enchantments. And so verse 18, now the magicians so worked with their enchantments. It had worked before. They had been able to do it prior to this. They worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice. But they could not. Notice it. The magicians take up the challenge to do something great with this most humble of substances. Here, you can control dust, can't you? It's just dust. You're really powerful magicians, aren't you? You can just do what you want with this dust. It's just lying there. It's not doing anything. It's not going to argue with you. You can manipulate it, right? How important this is. And on two levels. First, only the Lord God omnipotent can take the basic building blocks of what we call reality of nature, dust. Only he can take that and make out of it what he wills. Think of this again in regards to Genesis 2. And the Lord God took dust and he formed man. The most glorious of the created world, the apex of creation. Do you see the distinction there? Do you see the opposite regard? The lowliest of substance, dust, we wipe it away. We buy products that help us to wipe it off of our furniture because it's just a hindrance, it's a burden to us. God used that to make man, the height of creation. And now he is using that to bring discipline. And he nods at those magicians and he says, go ahead, try it. And that's the other side of it. The magicians did not fail to keep up with the Almighty when he gave them ability and gave them strength. But now notice this. The magicians do not fail to mimic the miracle because the miracle is too awesome. That is to say, God is not here saying to mountains, move and jump into the sea, and the magicians fail to do that. He is not saying to the sky, change from blue to polka dots, and they're failing to follow him in their ability to do that. It's just dust. How quickly and how easily is man shown to be the creature he truly is? Man is utterly impotent to effect any change of anything unless God is with him, unless God is for him. And this is the world in which we live, dearly beloved. In almost every category conceivable, man thinks far too much of himself. To say this again, it is needed in our day, but evolution is a prime example of man's runaway intellectual pride. It is a deadly evil. The longer man is allowed to think that he is able, capable to work with the basic stuff of the world and manipulate things into the way he wants to, the longer he will work to deny that God is sovereign, ruling over all things. Evolution is Satan's prepackaged, airtight lie, ready-made to allow man to believe that he yet rules and controls everything. It is the scientific basis for allowing the moral evil of abortion. But dearly beloved, evolution is but one example of man's delusion. We need to think of this. That we work around, or even we work with people who have convinced themselves that they control their own destiny. They have convinced themselves that they have their lives figured out. And if you've lived long enough, you see what happens when they get sick. The diagnosis comes and it's cancer. And what almost immediately happens is bitterness and anger. And they say, it's just not right. Why me? It's just not fair. There's a certain bias, there's a certain way of thinking, a reality of the world in which they think they live. When something comes they cannot control, they begin to say, well, this is not right, it's just not fair. And then we, living in their midst, have the blessed privilege to show them the truth, that there is a God who controls this life, these things, who has sent his son to free us from that most significant cancer that we cannot control, as it were, sin. And so, dearly beloved, we see in the text the confusion, and fourthly, the effect of a testimony that is tempered. There is actually in this passage an amazing testimony that sort of just falls out of the mouths of the magicians. This is the finger of God. You can imagine that had they stopped to realize that as they were standing in Pharaoh's presence, that he would hear their testimony. Had they stopped to realize that they would have muzzled their mouths or put a clamp on their tongue, but it grips them so suddenly, they are so shocked by what they now cannot do, that the truth just runs out of their mouths uncontrolled. This is the finger of God. But alas, Pharaoh's heart is getting harder. This is something amazing, dear congregation. This, by the way, is why we go section by section through a book of the Bible, because we can remember now a few sermons ago where it was Pharaoh who, faced with the mysterious, faced with the unexplainable, called in his magicians. You remember? His experts, the specialists in the supernatural. Let's just dwell on this for a moment. If you want to think about professionals, who are supposed to have the experience and the ability to explain things, if you're thinking of the specialists in the realm of the spooky, the ones who are experts in stuff which defies textbook explanation, here in the days of Egypt, of Pharaoh, here are the magicians. When it comes to mysterious ways of footprints on the sea and riding on the storm, you want those who are able to give you some type of answer, who can explain things. And so it was very reasonable for Pharaoh to have called them in early on. He wanted to have an explanation. Tell me what's going on here. And he listened to them. He trusted them. Except now that he doesn't want to. These magicians, and notice the plural, all sing the same song to Pharaoh. Here's a group singing in unison, testifying corporately, this is the finger of God. But now he doesn't want to listen. Even to his own trusted experts. This is the nature of sin and evil on display here. For dearly beloved, so it is in our own day. God has given to the world experts trained to explain, to reveal the mysteries of God. And most in the world will not listen. Their hearts are hard. He, the Almighty, has allowed for men with feet of clay to stand and tell all who will listen that this is what God is like. This is what God is doing. Listen and now hear about the work of the blessed Savior of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the midst of that kind of profession, so many scoff. Many laugh. But we don't. And we want to ensure that our children won't. We desire to exalt this glorious God and His perfect salvation through Jesus Christ. And we take our children and we bring them to church and we set them down and we say to them, listen to what we, your fathers and mothers in the faith, have lived on our whole lives and receive the same truth. And then we comfort them in the fact that we live in our Father's world, where all things from dust to devils are completely under His sovereign control. Do you know this morning that you are hearing about the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Lord of Lice and the Lord of Dust, and all that you can see and hear, taste, touch, and smell responds to His finger? So that, dearly beloved, when we worship Christ the Lord, the world makes sense. Amen. Our Father in heaven, how glorious are Your ways, how perfect Your power, how pure and how sweet is Your will for us. And Lord, in these few short verses, we pray that we have seen something of the ways You work to sustain Your church. For how sorely does Your church need to be reminded and to be comforted and to be challenged in these things. Lord, these are not the days of man's autonomy. These are not the days where man says he is the captain of his own ship, the master of his own destiny. O Lord, we are but unprofitable servants. And yet servants of the great King, the Lord of Master of the whole universe. O now, dear Lord, strengthen us and comfort us for these times, for these days. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.